This is The Agenda. I'm Kevin Rout, sitting in for Dave Bernstein today, who is very worthy of a day off after filling in for me for the past three days this week and a day last week. So having that big change in his schedule and everything, definitely deserving of a day off. Coming in now, opportunity to talk with Richard DeRock, the director of Link Transit, and talk about some things that are happening for them, including their Vision 2020 program. Good afternoon, Richard.
Afternoon.
First off, you guys have a big request of the public, and we've talked about it a little bit on KPQ in the past, but let's remind folks of what you're asking and why you're asking it.
Sure. Well, our board has put a sales tax proposal on the ballot for the August 6th primary election, and what this would do, it would raise the local sales tax by 0.2 cents to fund approximately 40% expansion of Link services. Primarily, the money would go to fund Sunday services, improve Saturday services, increase the frequency a lot on Saturday, extend the hours, weekdays till 11 o'clock, roughly maybe midnight, depending on the route, started about a couple hours early in the morning. And the entire intent behind this is to meet the needs of people who work in our service industries, our tourist related industries, in the agricultural processing facilities. Our service, because it really is Monday through Friday, for the most part, and really only serves 8 to 5 work shifts, misses a whole lot of our community in terms of what's out there. And when we surveyed our community and asked them what they wanted to see for the future, this is really what came to the top of the list going forward.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. The information signals you've just heard are a test of the emergency alert system. If this had been an actual emergency, you would have been given additional information on the emergency. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
'90, when we first started, and the citizens approved a 0.4 cent sales tax to start the operation of the system in those days. This would be the first time we've ever gone back to the ballot. And what this would actually do is take our funding back to a level that's about what it was when we used to get a state match. And so that would allow us to operate a 7-day-a-week service.
So once every 30 years, I think that's fair.
Well,
maybe.
Maybe, yeah. What ends up being necessary for the situation. And the way I described it to the board is, we're stable for the system we have now. We can operate the service we have today with the revenue we have. We're fine looking probably the next 15 years out. But if we want to grow and have the system reflect the growth in our community, our system is about 90% as large as it was back when it started in the mid-90s. We had cut a lot right after in 2000 when we lost our state match funding. But our community's grown 36% since then, and our system hasn't. So we don't provide as much relevance to the community as we used to do, or what the changing economy in our community really sort of desires now. And so that was the question we put out to the board and to the public: is it time for Link to do more to serve the needs of our community? And if it is, then here's a way to do that.
How did you get to the determination of 0.2 cents?
It came straight from what the public told us. We went out and surveyed in 2016. We surveyed the community and said, what would you like to see Link do in the future? What's important? And we got a very long list of proposals. We took that, worked through it, figured out what was actually technically possible to do. And people were asking for service to Seattle. We can't legally do those things. So we took that list, narrowed it down to what is actually within our authority under state law, or is practicable in our area, and figured out what the costs were. We then went back and sent a survey to every single household in our service area, showing out what people had asked for, what they said they wanted, and what each thing cost, and what it would mean to individually if you were to pick those services. And it was a computerized version which allowed you to pick services that you thought were important. It showed you what the impact on sales tax was. And out of that process, we winnowed that list down dramatically to a list of the 30 projects that we have going forward, in terms of expanded hours, new park and ride lots that were in the proposal, based on what people told us they were willing to support, and two-tenths is where that landed. It's what, when they, the amount of service they picked came to that level. I mean, there were people that actually wanted to go more, but the support fell down to a level that wasn't something that clearly the community wasn't going to support, a three-tenths or four-tenths level. They, you know, that was options in the survey, but they didn't do that. They supported a two-tenths level.
As we've, you know, the ballots go out in about a month or a little less than a month, I think, at this point. What have you heard from the community? Because we've known about sort of the link request. What have you heard from the community after that sort of became official, we're doing this?
A lot of people ask the question, I mean, pretty fundamentally, why would you want to do this? And people who are don't know much about us will say, well, the buses always seem to be empty, so why would you want to put more out there? And we've shared a lot of information. So our buses aren't empty. We average 13 passengers an hour in service. So every hour the bus is on the road, we average 13. Now our very rural routes don't carry 13 people an hour. I've got some that are in the 4 and 5 passenger an hour range. And then I have our route that runs between Columbia Station and the East Wenatchee Mall that's running almost 30 passengers an hour. But on average, we average about 13. Doesn't mean the bus may not be empty when you drive past it. Entirely possible. So buses pick up and drop people off, and so at times it may be there. And so at a base level, our system is actually pretty efficient. For a rural area that has got a really broad service area, our service area is the largest in the state. When you add up rural areas into it, you can't expect them to operate at really high levels. Other question is, why can't you just raise fares? Well, that isn't how transit works in the United States. No one covers their costs through the fare box. We are on the low end, but we're in the average of what fares collect in rural areas. We're about 7% of our regular bus costs are covered by fares. About 4% of the total cost of the operation is covered by fares. That may seem really low, but that is what it is in rural areas. King County Metro is running about 23% of their costs are covered by fares, and that's the 12th largest system in the country and has a lot more service out there. And you can see we just don't cover our costs with fares in public transportation. And so this really is a question of values to the community. Is this something that we think meeting the needs of people that don't have choices, the low-income community that can access more jobs, and the employer community that is looking for employees, you know, Leavenworth, Chelan, or housing issues, transit has a way to help on those things, and is a 2/10 sales tax, which actually would work out to being cost per the average taxpayer in Chelan-Douglas County about $24 a year.
Is it, I'd imagine, with folks who maybe are looking for a job and the job they can find is in Chelan or Leavenworth, but they can't afford to live there, but the places they can't afford to live means they've got to have an alternative option to transportation, whether they don't have reliable transportation or they would need that option, is that that provides an invaluable service to somebody who is in a situation where they have to live maybe in Entiat or somewhere in Rondo or someplace where maybe they can't afford, you know, they can't afford to live in Leavenworth because it's just too expensive, but they need to be able to get there.
And that's one of the big messages we heard was more than half of the people who responded to our surveys were people who are not riders. And they were saying, we're not riders because we can't use the system because you don't go where we need to or at times we need to go. And that's really what this measure is about. It would 100% of the money that we would generate would go to fund new services. We're not going to use any of the money that would come out of this to fund our existing operations. We've got that covered. This is to fund Sunday service. It's to fund later hours. It's to increase frequencies on the major routes so they're more convenient. And it's really aimed at the economic value in our community. We do a good job for people who don't have choices today. What we don't do is meet those second and third shift needs that we have a lot in our community, and we don't meet the needs of our tourist community because we don't operate on Sundays and have much less service on Saturdays. And that's a really growing part of our economy, and that's where we need to be focusing, as well as service to some of the areas that we don't cover. Like I said, we've had a 35% increase in population over the last 20 years in our area. And our routes really haven't changed to adapt that. We don't serve Fancher Heights. We don't serve out to the airport area. We don't serve up in the foothills. And maybe those areas don't deserve a full-size transit bus. The densities are low, and ridership probably wouldn't be huge. But there are people that need to go to those locations. There are lots of jobs now out by the airport. It's probably time for us to be putting more service into those areas to meet those broader needs that our community has.
And they're building data centers out there right now, too, which
exactly.
are and so huge staffing, but...
But enough that particularly like a vanpool or carpool program that we may be able to support can be a way to make some of those things happen. We're experimenting with some demand-responsive modes, which can use smaller vehicles and still meet people's needs. We're not looking to put full-size buses every place. We don't realize that's not the answer for our community. But providing access so that employers can find employees, which is a huge issue, that we can address the housing imbalance we have in our valley, is really what this is aimed at. It provides more options for people. And what we're asking for, while it would be a significant increase, 40% increase in service, it is sort of scaled to what the community told us they were interested in.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:46. Talking with Richard DeRock, director of Link Transit. I'm Kevin Rout, sitting in for Dave Bernstein. Well, when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation with Mr. DeRock.
The Agenda on New 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:50. I'm Kevin Rout, sitting in for Dave Bernstein, wrapping up my conversation with Richard DeRock over at Link Transit. And we've got a couple of other things going on. We obviously, the big thing is going to be the tax initiative in August, and we'll continue to talk to you about that, sure. Particularly after the results come in the second week of August. But you also have some new service adjustments that are coming beginning on Monday.
Sure. So we have a couple of new services starting on Monday. We have restructuring of our Leavenworth service. We have a new park and ride, which we're actually cutting the ribbon on tomorrow, opening that up to the public, that we got some state funds to build. And that was designed to make our regular service to Leavenworth more reliable, because with the festival's issues, we were getting caught in traffic. And so what we're doing is our regular route will stop at the park and ride in the afternoons, and there's a shuttle that'll run through Leavenworth that's one of the new services that'll start. And it's an effort to sort of help with the tourist market in Leavenworth, but what it really does is keeps our commuter service on time so that people who depend on it to get to and from work can actually depend on it, because it's been really difficult to keep it reliable with the festival traffic we've seen in Leavenworth. And so this park and ride should help a lot on that effort, plus provide 90 more spaces for riders on the system to commute. We also have a shuttle starting up in Chelan. We'll be doing a seasonal shuttle up there that will connect Don Morse Park to Lakeside Park as well as downtown. That'll be on a half-hour route. Both of those shuttles in Leavenworth and Chelan are free. We're really trying to encourage people to take advantage of them moving through the congested times, and then if they want to access the regular buses, then they'll have to pay fare for those pieces. But the shuttles that gets them to the buses will be free in both of those communities.
And it connects, I'd imagine, some of the tourist areas with the business areas, too. Like you know, Leavenworth is, well, it's all tourists, but, I mean, like, you're right. Those festival weekends, Christmas, you know, and Oktoberfest and all of those things, it's insane to try to get into Leavenworth. And to have that extra option, I'd imagine, would be super helpful.
Well, I think if we're able to, if the voters choose to pass the sales tax, we'll be able to add Sunday service to Leavenworth. And we have almost 500 parking spaces between Wenatchee and Leavenworth that we operate in park and rides in that quarter, and they're not really utilized on the weekends because we don't have service. And so a good third of the people going to Leavenworth are coming out of our area. So we want to provide options so you don't have to put yourself into that traffic and make that a better option that's up there, and the shuttle and the better service and the park and ride should all feed into making those options for the community.
Plus, hopefully, it helps you make good choices, because if you're going over to Oktoberfest, you're going to imbibe, and if you're imbibing, then you should have alternative options than driving home.
We certainly hope that's what people make those choices.
We always hope those things, and for some reason, some people just don't ever, they just never seem to want to, but everything else going over okay at Link Transit? Everything else we're going
Things are doing pretty well right now. Ridership's up about 1%, so that's turning around from... You know, when gas prices are really low, our ridership dipped a little bit, but we've seen a real positive growth. And there's been a lot of positive feedback on what we're doing out there. So I think people are reasonably happy with the system we have. And like I said, we're asking the question about the future.
All right. Richard, thanks so much for your time today. And we'll reach out to you particularly after August 6th. Yes, so we'll be talking to you about whatever the results may be.
Exactly.